Normally I'd say please stand if you're able, but if you're compelled by the Spirit to stand, please stand. If you're able, this is a long passage, Pastor had said, and if you're not over there, please turn your Bibles to Genesis, picking off where Pastor Ben had finished, Genesis 27, starting at verse 30, and we'll go to 28, verse 9. You can find that on page 22 of your pew Bible. Hear the word of the Lord. As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. He also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me. His father Isaac said to him, who are you? He answered, I am your son, your firstborn, Isaac. Then Isaac trembled very violently and said, who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me, and I ate it before all you came? And I have blessed him? Yes, he shall be blessed. As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. But he said, your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing. Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. Then he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? Isaac answered and said to Esau, behold, I have made him lord over you, and all his brothers I have given to him for servants. And with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son? Esau said to his father, have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be, and away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck. Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, the days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. But the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, behold, your brother Esau comforts himself about you by planning to kill you. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise. Flee to Laban, my brother, in Haran, and stay with him for a while, until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you, and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereft of both in one day? Then Rebekah said to Isaac, I loathe my life because of the Hittite woman. If Jacob marries one of the Hittite women like these, one of the women of the land, what good will my life be to me? Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and directed him, you shall not take a wife from the Canaanite women. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take as your wife from there, one of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may become a company of peoples, that he may give the blessing of Abraham to you and to your offspring with you, that you may take possession of the land of your sojournings that God gave to Abraham. Thus, Isaac sent Jacob away. He went to Padan Aram, to Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Aramean, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's, and Esau's mother. Now Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take a wife from there, and that he blessed him. He directed him, you must not take a wife from the Canaanite woman, and that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother and had gone to Padan Aram. So when Esau saw that the Canaanite women did not please his Isaac, his father, Isaac went to Ishmael and took as his wife, besides the wives he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth. This ends the reading. May God bless the preaching that follows, and please be seated.
Well, another vivid story in the household of Isaac. This is one where it might be something that we've gotten used to with YouTube live streams and with a history of reality shows in our generation, where we get to see into the households of our world, and we get to see both the good things and the ugly things. Here, we have a family that is quite divided, and as Zach told us, division leads to destruction. We just see that all over this passage. Now, the heart of this passage is a blessing. There's a blessing that is desired. It is a valuable thing. Both parents with their favorite child want that blessing for their own child, their preferred child. And as we look at this, I want you to remember that the blessing is at the heart of this. We see that there are six main scenes in our passage. In this long passage, you can think of it as having six sort of scenes. If they come up, if they were in a play, it would be that they have scene one and then through six. At the beginning and the end of this passage, Esau is taking wives. First, he takes two that are Hittite wives from Canaan, from that land, and then he takes one at the end. And so those are kind of like bookends on what's happening here. They're always seeking God's blessing, both Isaac and Jacob. Both Jacob and Esau through this. And Isaac is the one who possesses this blessing and is going to impart this blessing. Now, some very basic things about blessing. What the Bible shows us is that the blessings that we have come from God. We all want good things. We all want blessings. So every person in the world, if we're honest, would say we want things like being healthy. That's a blessing. Or having wealth. Being successful. Having love. All of these things are blessings. The scripture is very clear that blessings come from God. Everybody wants these, and these blessings come from God. It says in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. That's a very inclusive thing. Every single gift that is good has come from God. Now, when the Bible talks about blessings, sometimes these are very concrete things that are spoken over people. God, at the end of the giving of the law, at the end, for example, of Deuteronomy, there are lists of blessings and there are lists of curses. The blessings under the law that Moses gave were for obedience to that law. The curses are the opposite of blessings, are for disobedience. So that if people would obey and stay in line with God's will and obey him, good things would come. And the list is long. The curses would come for disobedience. Well, that leaves us then with this clear question: how can we have God's blessing? And I want us to answer that by looking at this passage. What we'll see is that God's blessing is for us to receive in God's way, and that includes God's timing, in Christ. So let's look at this passage under three sections. First, that true blessings do indeed come from God, that these blessings are to be received in God's way and in His time, and that they are for all. God's blessings are for all who are in Christ. First of all, true blessings come from God. The story we just read is a vivid one, and we won't retell the whole story, but as we look at this, these first few scenes are individuals talking with each other. All six of these scenes begin with something that creates a setting. Someone says something and it's overheard. Someone makes a resolve and it's known. And then you have individuals within this family of four talking with each other. Four of the six scenes are one of the parents speaking with their favored son, either Jacob or Esau. The family that we have here with this blessing had a unique responsibility, that Isaac had something from his father Abraham which was given from God, a blessing. And it's almost handled in this passage like it's a commodity. Like he held on to it until he delivered it to one of his sons. And this was conveying a divine blessing that came to Abraham first. The two parents both wanted it for their boys. The language in these first scenes is really strong in showing us that. The way that Isaac calls Esau to himself, Rebekah's not invited to the discussion. Jacob is not involved in the discussion. It's Isaac with his son, who is his favorite one, that is called in. And what he says is, he says, my son. And whenever there he's referring to this, you see this in verse 1, and then you see Rebekah use the same language over in verse 8. They refer to Jacob as Rebekah's son, Esau as Isaac's son. This is clearly a house that's divided. Isaac had favoritism towards his firstborn son. He loved him, and we already know this, because he loved the food that he got. He loved his manly hunter son who could go out and get game and then cook it. And then we have this repeated phrase in these first few scenes where they all know that the way into Isaac's favor is a certain meal. I picture this as fresh game that is butchered to make fillets. And he says, such as I love. So they season it. It's like they have this special rub. You know, like we would do for a barbecue, you rub it and then you grill it nice and slowly, or maybe there's smoke involved. And then it just is, that's the way Isaac likes it. This food, the way he loves it. Now, Isaac wanted this blessing to go to Esau. But what happened was Rebekah was overhearing this. Rebekah could hear through the tent. She heard the whole conversation. And so when Isaac says to Esau, I want to give you the blessing now. I'm not sure how long I'm going to live. He can't see anymore. Rebekah heard all of it. And she starts scheming. So she calls Jacob. And she says, we're going to have a plan. We're going to get this from him. So you're going to do what I say. Now we can see that they're both calling their different favorite boys my son. But we have to ask a question. Why didn't Isaac believe God's word that we saw last Sunday? Isaac shows that he's a believer. Rebekah shows that she's a believer. They pray to God. They ask for God's help, and God helps them to have children, to know what's happening in their lives. When God's word came to them, you remember the oracle that was spoken? And she was pregnant and she was miserable. There's a lot of misery in her life because of these boys. God said this, "The older shall serve the younger." God made his will known to them. Isaac seems to act contrary to this, because in his blessing, when he does eventually speak the blessing, thinking that it's Esau, he says the opposite of what God's word has said. Now, why didn't Isaac believe that the older shall serve the younger? That was a verse that was picked up on in Romans 9 when the Apostle Paul is explaining God has purposes and they cannot be changed, including in election, as we saw in Romans 9. Now, we see this family that's divided. Isaac here is a believer who is living very much for the desires of his stomach, for the sensual priorities that make him happy in this world. Isaac is a picture of a believer who flirts with worldliness and ignores God's word, and it has a dividing effect on this family. So I want you to notice how each person in this family acts without faith in God or his word here. And I don't think that either of the sons are believers yet, though the parents are. They're all sinners. Now, what they got right in this is that they wanted the blessing of God. We should want the blessing of God as well. What they got wrong is this. They all sought what they wanted in sinful ways, and this dishonors God. This family, though, is following Isaac, who is the leader. He's the patriarch of this household. And he lived too much by sight and not enough by faith. The Christian life, the life of faith, for Old Testament believers and for all of us, is to live by faith. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. How do we do that? We take God's word and we obey it. We trust it. We build our lives upon it. Isaac mingled too much of his own sight to where he was at the point where he chose sight over faith. And at this point in his life, his sight has failed him. His senses are being impaired. Okay? All five senses are mentioned here, and I think that's very intentional. Derek Kidner says this about Isaac, about this passage. All five senses play a conspicuous part, largely by their fallibility, in this classic attempt to handle spiritual responsibilities by the light of nature. Ironically, even the sense of taste on which Isaac prided himself gave him the wrong answer. Unfitness for office shows in every act of his sight, of this sightless man, rejecting the evidence of his ears for that of his hands, following the promptings of his palate, and speaking inspiration through, of all things, his nose. Yet God put these very factors to work for him. Isaac's favoritism caused this bias in him, and when his senses were failing him, he was tricked, he was duped, and the family is further divided. Now, brothers and sisters, I want you to look at Isaac at this point, in these first few scenes, and see that his sight was gone. And what does this tell us? As much as you live by sight, eventually your sight will fail you. The things of this world, the sensual pleasures of this world, will come to an end. God's word never comes to an end. And what we are called to do, and is given to us here as an example, is that we are called to live by faith. Do you see how much division was caused through his sin of favoritism, through him being led by his stomach rather than by God's word? It divided this family. When we as believers are mingling faithlessness into our lives, it causes damage It causes division. It rippled out so that this family was split. In Numbers 32:23, we have this statement that just echoes through all of redemptive history in the scriptures. It says, "Your sin will find you out." Now, last week we talked about those besetting sins and the temptations to which we are prone as individuals. This week we need to see this, that having a little pet sin in your life will not stay hidden. It will find you out. It will ripple out. It will have its destructive effect. You or on your family. And this is not good. So, true blessings certainly do come from God. But look at what we've done with them. So, God's blessings are there and we should seek to receive them. But we should seek to receive them in God's way and in His timing. So as we look at this, the mother and the son, Rebecca and Jacob, made their plan. I asked a few goat experts yesterday about the skin of young goats, which are named here. And what is that like? And could it feel like human hair? And my answer was, yes. Young goats have really, really thin, smooth hair. And if you take the skin of a young goat and you feel it, it feels like a hairy arm or hairy hand or apparently a hairy neck. I mean, Esau had a lot of hair. Well, in their plan, Jacob dresses up with this skin while his mother is making the food. And she's using the special rub and she's doing the seasoning of the young goat, and then they can serve it to Isaac, such as he loves. And he goes in. And there are three questions and there are three lies from Jacob to his father Isaac to impersonate the son that Isaac is expecting, Esau. And the ironic thing here is that part of the senses of Isaac were working. His ears told him the truth. He heard the voice of the younger son, Jacob. Maybe Jacob's voice was higher pitch, or maybe it was nasally, but it wasn't the voice of Esau. And yet he smelled this. Whenever Isaac said, how did you come back so quickly, he lied. And in the three questions that Isaac asks Jacob, Jacob just goes deeper into his deception, into his tricks. His name then is Deceiver, as we see here. But what happened was God's blessings were being grasped after. They were being received not in the way God intended and not in God's timing through their trickery. Now I say that, I want to clarify what I mean by that. God was working through their sin, but their will being exercised was wrong and it had a destructive effect. God's way is always according to His word. What they were doing was they were taking something that they wanted and then acting in ways that were sinful to get something God had promised. Now, a couple of situations in Scripture we see where this is a dilemma that's put before people. King David was anointed to be king. And there were a couple of occasions where he had the opportunity to take the life of Saul, who was hunting David's life. And David responded the same way in both situations. He said, "He is the Lord's anointed, and I can't do what's wrong and raise my hand and strike down the Lord's anointed. It would be wrong." We see this also with Jesus when he's tempted by Satan. One of the temptations given to him is to see all the kingdoms of this world with all of their glory. And Satan says to Jesus when he's being tempted in the wilderness, both recorded in Matthew 4 and in Luke 4, he says, "I can give all these to you if you will bow down and worship me." And what's he doing there? What's the temptation? The temptation is to take a shortcut to what God had promised, to what Jesus was to receive. In the Great Commission, we saw this with the men's retreat this weekend. Jesus begins by saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, what's he saying there? Well, in Luke, in the temptation in Luke, Satan says, the authority over all these kingdoms and all their glory, they're mine. And in Luke, we read that he says, I can give them to whoever I want. I can give them to you. And what's he tempting Jesus with there? A shortcut to avoid the cross. What Jesus achieved there was something that Adam lost, this dominion. And as a man, Jesus entered into this authority. Now, here's the point for us. Taking shortcuts to get God's promises is one of Satan's best temptations. You have to watch out for this. Now, this is something I got from a commentary by Ian Duguid. Jacob was taking a shortcut. Perhaps Rebecca, well, she certainly knew the oracle of God. She wanted the blessing for her son. God already said this is what would happen. And I want you to see the contrast. When Jacob fakes it and he acts like Esau, the blessing then that Jacob, or that Isaac in his limited capacity speaks, it comes whenever he smells the garments of his son Esau. And he smells the garments of his son. And look at verses 27 through 29. He says, I see the smell of my son. And it's almost that you can see this old man in his blindness smells and he visualizes something beautiful. This land that God has blessed and how he has promised such good things. It's like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. He says, may God give you the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. This land in Israel, this land where God promised to Abraham and his descendants, has a unique dynamic. The Mediterranean, the humidity of all that air, it comes over the land of Israel, and then it creates dew, which makes it a very fruitful place. And much of the surrounding land around Israel doesn't have the same thing. It's not where Esau ended up settling, on the mountains that are called Edom. But then he continues with this blessing, and he says, let peoples serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers. Look at what he says. And may your mother's sons bow down to you. This is the opposite of what God had said would be between Esau and Jacob. And then he says, cursed. Here we have this language of cursing at the end of this blessing. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed blesses you. That's the same thing that God spoke to Abraham. Okay? And what he does is he pours out this blessing. Now, it was the right thing to look for, but it was in the wrong way, and they had painful consequences. The main consequence was this. Remember what Rebecca said to Jacob? He said, what if a curse comes to me instead of a blessing? And she said, let the curse fall on me. And now what's interesting is, right after this, she has to send her son away, and there's no record of Rebecca ever seeing Jacob ever again in Scripture. It's gone. And the things that she wanted, all of this, she lived out the rest of her days, and there's no mention of good things with her son and herself. Her other son, her oldest son, who would be thought of as Isaac's son, becomes angry. You can almost see the scene as it's described. Jacob, wearing Esau's stuff, walks out. And as soon as he's gone, Esau himself comes in and enters this scene. As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father. Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. He also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, now, Esau, you can see with his longer introduction, seems to be much more comfortable with Isaac. He says all of this, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me." Now here's where the anger starts to well up. Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" You can almost see the tremors starting. He said, "I'm your son, your firstborn Esau." Isaac, it says, trembled very violently. And he says, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me?" And it's like the reality of all this is settling in. And he's just speaking it out loud. "We've been tricked." Look at what he says. "Who was it that brought in the game and brought it to me? And I ate it all before you came. And I have blessed him." That's the question. And then he says, "Yes. And he shall be blessed." I picture him just sitting up saying, "It's done. The blessing is gone." And what happens then is Esau is furious. And he wants a blessing. I was reading this morning, Proverbs 27:4 says this, "Wrath is cruel, anger is overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy?" Esau lost it. Lost this blessing thoroughly now. And it went to Jacob through these tricks. And he's jealous of it. And this makes him angry. Esau's resolve now is to kill his brother. And they know about it. Rebekah and Jacob did something here that was really despicable. They lied. They cheated. They stole. They took what God promised, but they did so without faith or without love. And we should learn a lesson from this because it caused so much destruction. We should wait for God's timing. We should do the right thing in the right way. Now, Esau's anger here is seen in these last few scenes. Rebekah hears about it. She hears about what Esau wants to do. Isaac is there, and I'll tell you what it reminds me of. Have you ever seen someone that got ripped off from a scammer that calls them on the phone or on a computer? And then you find out, all my money's gone. I gave them my account number. I entered my credit card. And then the shock sets in, and there's anger. And there's, I've been ripped off. That's the picture of Isaac. Esau enters into a vendetta. Do you know what a vendetta is? It's an Italian word. It's a vow. It's a sacred vow that I resolve to get revenge. Usually it's through death. Well, he has a vendetta. Rebekah hears about this in 46, and she says to Isaac, she hears about it, and she tries to deal with it. She goes to her husband and says, she finds an angle. Now, she can't tip her hand that she caused all of this, that she was scheming. And the family is still divided, even in what she says here. But she says something that they have in common. Remember back at the end of chapter 26? These two Canaanite wives, these Hittites, made life bitter for Isaac and Rebekah. She goes on those terms. She's very manipulative with this. And she says to him, "If Jacob marries one of the Hittite women like these, one of the women of the land, what good will my life be?" She doesn't bring up, "You were intending to bless our one son and not the other." She doesn't say, "I schemed," or let him know anything about this, or how Jacob willingly cooperated. Although Isaac knows these things at some degree. But she wouldn't tip her hand about the scheme. This family then, after this, is never fully reunited. But what happens then is she wants to get her son to be sent away. They were seeking God's blessing in a wrong way. I want us to learn a lesson here. We are capable, as believers, of similar sins, as we see here in Rebekah or in Isaac. Their sin divided them, and a house divided cannot stand. I want to apply this to us as a church. One of the analogies for a church is that we're a household of faith. or that we are a family, brothers and sisters together. We can be genuinely, our faith is in Christ, and yet we can sin in such ways that cause terrible division, that cause separation. Now, churches get divided all the time. We need to guard against this. And I want you to see something here. The blessing that he speaks, that he intended for Esau, but it went to Jacob in disguise, includes these words, this picture of the promised land with all of the beauty of the dew falling on it and the smell of the land. He could smell it, and he says, "May God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth." And then look at what it says in a psalm that we prayed earlier, Psalm 133. One of the blessings that can be lost for believers, but it's intended for us as believers, is unity. Unity in the truth. Unity in line with God. It says in Psalm 133, "Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity." And listen to this language. It's like the precious oil on the head, running over, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down the collar of his robes. He describes it over and over again, like this thing that's poured out. And the priest Aaron, that's being anointed as a priest, is being, the oil is being applied. And then he says this, "It's like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore." Unity among God's people is God's blessing for us. We should want this. We, in our will, exercising our sinful, selfish will, if we act like this family does, we will know division. It doesn't mean we're not Christians. It doesn't mean that when we see this stuff that Isaac and Rebekah, their faith wasn't in God. They weren't believers. No. But the kingdom of God, it will continue. The gospel will continue. But we might have division that causes great damage for ourselves and in this world. God intends his blessings to be received in his way and in his time. And that calls for us to be loving with one another, to be patient, to do what's right, to not revert to sinful things with each other, like gossip or like tricks or you know, scheming within our fellowship or our ministry. And may God help us to know the blessings of God in this way. Lastly, God's blessings are for all who are in Christ. After the trick happened, after the blessing was given to one and withheld from the other, what we see is a response. Now, this blessing that Isaac had and that he intended for Esau was gone. And the way that Esau begs for a blessing, and he says, "Didn't you save some for me?" It gives us the picture that it's like a commodity. It's like something that could only be given once. It's almost like oil in a jar. And when he goes to him, he says, "Don't you have any other blessing? Bless me too, my father." And he wants something. But Isaac uses this language. He says, "I poured it all out. It's gone." And the blessing that he does give him, it's almost like there's just a couple drips left, Esau. That's it. And this is vivid because he wanted a blessing, but Isaac could only do so much. And now we're not given all of the explanation of how this works, but this is what I don't want us to be confused by. What's given us here is not a pattern for bringing blessings through our words, especially in line with what we've been warned about many times, what's called the prosperity gospel, what's called health and wealth preaching, word of faith, where people will say, if you say certain words, it will become true. That doesn't work. God's word is what's true. We are called to speak blessings to one another in line with God's word. We give a benediction at the end of a service because it's God's word coming to us all, and we're seeking that, but it's from God. God is the Almighty One through His Word who blesses His people. How does God's Word come to us? Well, it comes through Christ. And this is here in our passage, and it's very clearly revealed in the New Testament. God's blessings are for all who are in Christ. I want you to look at what Jacob does whenever he goes to his father, Isaac. Jacob comes, and he's about to be sent off. Actually, more so, I want you to focus on Isaac. Isaac realizes he's been tricked. He knows this. Rebecca starts this last scene by saying, I can't have Jacob marrying one of these women of the land. You know, it makes life bitter for us. I just can't have any more of this. And it sets up this last scene where Isaac and Jacob meet together, and Jacob is then sent off. They can't have any more bitterness. They can't have any more, you know, what is Esau doing tonight? Oh, he's with his wives. They're going to sacrifice to idols again. Ah, Abraham left all of that. Why are they doing this? Don't they know? Now, here's something for us in our households. We, when we flirt with the world like we can, when we, as parents, think about the generations ahead, and as a church, interact with the generations that we are responsible for, we can allow enough room that people can slide, our children, the generations within our church can slide away from the faith, just like Esau slid away from Isaac, from Abraham, the pattern of faith, which wasn't perfect. It can have this effect. God, though, doesn't run out of blessings like Isaac did. And the blessing that Isaac speaks to Jacob says something that goes back to Abraham and what God spoke to him. Now, Isaac is realigned. And I think that what we see in this last scene is that Isaac comes to grips with this idea. What I wanted is not what God wanted. And now he realigns with it. And he speaks plainly and clearly to Jacob. And what he speaks to him is called in verse 4, the blessing of Abraham. And he makes it very clear that what he wants, that's already been spoken, is to be for this son. And it's like he's repenting, like he's realigning with God's plan, with what God intended. He calls it the blessing of Abraham. He tells him about lands and about all these things. The blessings and the curses. In Ephesians 1:3, it says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is speaking to Christians, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. It's not talking about temporal things here. Isaac, whenever he spoke to Esau, barely had anything left. But look at the contrast with the blessings that are in Christ. God the Father never runs out of blessings for anyone who comes to him through Christ. Jacob came under the disguise, under the garments of Esau, because the father wanted to bless this one son. We come to God dressed in the righteousness of Christ, and he has abundant blessings for all who come in Christ, and they never run out. And these are spiritual blessings. Now, Esau continued to look for blessings in this world from his parents, and he takes another wife at the end, and it's just sad. It's just sad what he does. We should not look for blessings apart from God. There is one mediator between every one of us who believes and God, and that's Christ. And our blessings are always through him. If you don't know these blessings, if you want to enter into them, it says in Acts chapter 4 that you can enter into them in this way. There's salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Your hope must be in Christ and focused on him. But then in Galatians, this phrase is used that's used here, the blessing of Abraham. And I want us to end with this, how this blessing works. This is what the Apostle Paul says to the Galatians. It's very important for us. He says, Christ redeemed us from the curse. He gets us away from a curse. The curse of the law. The curse of the law is for disobedience. We all deserve that. How? by becoming a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Jesus himself took a curse when he was crucified. Why? So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing, there's the language, and look at what it's called, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. This is what it is. This is how it works. This is how we receive the blessing of God. Jesus traded places. When he went to the cross, the curse of the law that we deserve through our disobedience fell on Jesus. Why? So that the blessing of Abraham, the blessing of obedience, the blessing of God might come to us. Now, friends, this is the beauty of the gospel. This is how God blesses us and gives us every spiritual blessing. It's in Jesus, and it's never apart from him. This is a wonderful thing. We can still suffer in this world. We can go and wait for good things to come later. We can endure this knowing that the good things, the best things, are for all of God's children in Christ. These are spiritual blessings, and they are for all who are in Christ. So as we finish today, that is how we need to fix our attention on Christ and in him alone. And we should continue to seek him and rely on him for his blessings to come to us through Christ in his way. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the blessings that are just so freely given through faith in Christ and because of him. We ask now that you help us to call on you in song. Help us to pour out our hearts to bless you as you have blessed us in Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.